Pastor Ray is still recuperating from his recent heart surgery, and Pastor Todd Comstock Jr. will be preaching for us again this morning. I look forward to that. Speaking of Pastor Ray, a couple months ago I sent him a text message that to take me off the prayer list because my eye had completely healed. And he responded right away and he said, amen, God bless. Now you'll be able to really see how handsome I am. So I thought to myself, well, he's making this way too easy. So I responded and I said, my guess is you don't have any mirrors in your house. But anyhow, let's do our class verse, Romans 8:37. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Romans 8:37. Once again, Romans 8:37. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Romans 8:37. Pastor Tom Comstock?
All right. So they let me come back because they didn't have anybody else. That's how that works, yeah. I mean, they were like called, they called about 20 other people and then they all said no. And so then they said, all right, can you do it anyway? So I'm going to hand this to you before I forget. All right, well, I was glad you all came back. Probably because you didn't know I was going to be back, right? So that worked out. So we're enjoying this opportunity. So go ahead and turn your Bibles to Malachi chapter 1. You know, I told you they tried to give me the hard ones, right? Because this lesson, this week's lesson is only two chapters, and it's only like, it was only a whole total of 23 verses. After five chapters, they go to 23 verses. Yeah, we should get out. Yeah, I will probably be done in the next 5 minutes. So, yeah. So, if you have your Bibles, turn to Malachi chapter 1. Malachi chapter 1, and we'll get started this morning. Does anybody remember the theme for last week? We closed with the theme. Does anybody remember the theme of Zechariah 9 to 14? Anybody remember that theme by chance? Someone's got to check their notes, you know. Yeah, it's all good. I'll give it to you. Living with eternity in mind. Remember, it was the whole idea. Remember, we talked about the different, we jumped back and forth between Alexander the Great and the coming of Jesus, second coming of Christ, and then Alexander the Great again, and then, you know, and so they talked about the different prophecies, but it was an encouragement to us to live with the eternity in mind. Live with eternity in mind. And the idea that what we can do for Jesus Christ will last for him. And so, because I only have to do two chapters, I figured we'd ask a couple questions. And you guys probably can help me. I have a teenager. I have a 18. I have a 15. I have a 12. And so I'm still in the middle of like raising children and trying to figure out what to do and what not to do. And so, so my question to you is this. Have you ever had a child exclaim to you, he didn't think you loved him or her anymore? So has anybody had that moment where your child has said to you, I don't think you love me anymore, mom or dad? Anybody ever had that? Is there just me in my short amount of time of raising children? Okay, and now let me ask you this question. Why did they do that? Typically, why does a kid respond in that fashion that mom and dad, you don't love me anymore, or grandma and grandpa, you don't love me anymore? Why do they do that? Right over here. We got first one. Because they didn't get their way. Man, you had kids? You had kids like that? Wow. And you survived. You did barely. Again, there's hope for me then. That's awesome. Good. Anybody else? Anybody else? What? Why would your children would exclaim, you don't love me anymore? They're not getting enough attention. Okay. You're too busy. You're not giving me the attention I deserve. All right. And so sometimes, you know, as they get older, it's less and less. I think I've noticed that. But that's very, very true. Yeah, maybe you're challenging them to do more, and they don't want to do more. Have you ever had a child that like that? You know, hey, clean your own room instead of you clean it for them. Do your own dishes. And I mean, there's a lot of things like that. Yes. Huh? You told them no? And you're a mother? I'm talking to Mike after this. Listen, we've all right over here, right here.
Hey, how about if you provoke your children to
rant? We can provoke them sometimes, right? We can. Yeah.
Asking too many questions.
Oh, there's a good one. Asking some questions and they don't want to tell you about their day. You don't love me, just leave me alone. Let me go to my room and sulk. Miss Mercy, last one. Oh, consequences. Listen, I think we all would agree in raising children, there's been a time that we've gotten there and we say, we love you and we're going to tell you no. Or we love you, but we expect you to do this. Or we love you, but you're grounded for a month. We love you, give me your phone. Okay? You probably didn't do that, but that's what I do, okay? So, yeah. Here's the point. Malachi, you know what Malachi is? It's the same exact thing. Malachi is a book that is centered over around the idea that the Israelites were the people of God, and God has chastised them, has disciplined them, has given them a consequence, has told them no, has done these things. And guess what? God says, I love you, and we're going to see Israel's response. And so can I challenge us all? Because listen, the Bible is what? For us to model our lives, to look at our lives, to examine our lives. So as we look at this, let's examine how we may be responding to God when he's told us no. Or maybe how we're responding to God when he says, hey, I love you, and we, in return, are not necessarily saying, I love you back. And so as we get into this message today, as we kind of go through this process, I'd ask that you open your hearts to that, to examine your life and examine where you are, because that's why we come to Sunday school. That's why we come to church. Can we get better? Can we be better? Josiah, I need you to come up here for a second. We're gonna do another little quick illustration. Since he's a teenager, I figured I didn't know how I was going to get one of you guys to participate in this fun game that I have here. Josiah, I brought something for you. It's great. It's awesome. I may even took a bite of it. You want this? It's only a small bite. I only bit off this side. You can have this side over here. I mean, I didn't even really touch it too much. Like, I'll clean it up. It was in my pocket. It kind of fell apart. But I really want you to have it, Josiah. Would you please take this for me?
For you.
It's a gift. I'm giving you a gift, and you're going to throw away my gift?
No.
Do you want to fail geometry? Here, Josiah, you can have this one. Hey, listen, you know what? Can I ask you? This, by the way, is Malachi chapter 1 and 2. The Israelites are giving a gift that looks like this. A half-eaten, open, pocket lint. There was a little pocket lint in there, so that's why I had to wipe it off on that other side for him, because I didn't want him to have that. We're not giving our best to God. So as we kind of talk about this today, let's examine where we are. And that ties in last week. Last week was what? Living with eternity in mind. And now let's take this week and kind of bring it all together. God's going to give us some consequence. God's going to tell us no. God is going to bring us about. But are we giving our best to Jesus Christ? So as we look at that, look at your Bibles to we'll start and we'll read about five verses and that's it, because some of you know that I love to read. I'm a very good reader. Some of you subbed in and my son had to read in your class, and so you know that he gets it honestly. Malachi chapter 1, verse 1. The burden of the word of the Lord to Israel by Malachi. I have loved you, saith the Lord, yet ye say, wherein hast thou loved us? Was not Esau Jacob's brother, saith the Lord, yet I loved Jacob, and I hated Esau, and laid his mountains and his heritage waste for the dragons of the wilderness? Whereas Edom saith, we are impoverished, but we will return and build the desolate places. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, thou shalt build But I will throw down, and they shall call them the border of wickedness, and the people against whom the Lord hath indignation forever. And your eyes shall see, and ye shall say, the Lord will be magnified from the border of Israel. Verse 6 is the theme verse for this whole thing. Here it is. A son honoreth his father, and a servant his master. If then I be a father, where is mine honor? And if I be a master, where is my fear? Saith the Lord of hosts unto you, O priests that despise my name, and ye say, wherein have we despised thy name? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the opportunity we have to kind of study it this morning. Lord, pray that you'll give me the words to say as we go into this and be able to give some illustrations, maybe some tying it together for us to all grow and be able to be more like you as a result of this time and the study of Malachi. Pray for Pastor Ray and Pastor Norris, Pastor Josh, is there a way? Lord, just watch over them. Pray for the healing that they need in their bodies. Lord, pray that you'll just give them strength and bring them back safely and to us quickly. In Jesus' name, amen. I was thinking about this. If you look at your notes, you'll see that you're going to have to work for your fill-ins today. So if he asks me back, I'll do a PowerPoint. How about that? So the first week, I just did the thing. You had all the notes. This week, you have a blank. And then next week, if I have to come back, hopefully you'll have a better teacher next week. And when you get that, then you'll go back to whatever he does. But I'll do a PowerPoint for you so that you can keep up with it. There's one more lesson in the Minor Prophets. It'll tie up Malachi. So either Pastor Ray will probably be here, but if not, I will try to do my best to finish it all for you. All right, so if you look at it, the introduction, what is the introduction? The first is the name. If you look at this information, talk about, it says the burden of the word of the Lord to Israel by Malachi. The name. So the introduction is the name. What is the name? What does the name Malachi mean? Does anybody know that off the top of their head? So if you don't know, you're going to learn something right now. Right? See, there we go. I have taught you something, if you didn't know this. My messenger. The burden of the word of the Lord to Israel by my messenger. The other time it shows up is in Malachi chapter 3, verse 1. If you go flip over there, it says this, behold, I send my messenger. Right? Okay, so it can be, that's the other option that they translated it. It could have been Malachi, but they also put it as my messenger. It's a play on words. We oftentimes can say, well, maybe that's what it meant, but it probably was a prophet that was named Malachi, but it's a play on words. God is very good at what he does, isn't he? Amen. And what he did is he even named the person that was going to write this book my messenger, and he starts the whole book with that. I think it's more along those lines than it is that there wasn't a guy that wrote this and so on and so forth. There are some people that believe that. And so we see that it's my messenger. The first part of the book talks about that. His intro, as the intro to the book, we see that a man not mentioned at any other time in the Old Testament. It's not mentioned anywhere else but right here. And so it's interesting that way. Malachi is a personal name. He does this often in Zephaniah. There was another similar play on words where he did the same exact thing to kind of tie this together so that the people of Israel and us would understand it. I don't know about you, but a lot of us, we have family names. In the United States, most people name people and they have family names they name after. I grew up in the jungle. My parents, and you know that, I don't know if you know that or not, but I'm a missionary kid. And they would name people differently there. A lot of times they would name them after something that they saw when that person was born. And one was a chubby baby, and his name was Lard because he had he was chubby, so he's Lard. There was another one that was born, and they named him Poha. Poha is one of my best friends, and he means long grass. So the grass must have been long when he was born. You know, another one was named Blue Thread, because he had a blue thread that got stuck to his heel when he was born, so that made his name Inotewe. Okay? So it's a little different culture, right? And I think in Israel, the same thing. They had names that were named, I think, more so to kind of help people understand who God was, obviously, and who they were trying to name them after people that they saw. And I think that's interesting that God used that as he was writing the Bible. And so that was a side note. That wasn't even in my notes, so we'll keep going. But you see this, the next thing that happens, you see his personality. The second thing is his personality. So you see the name, you see his personality. The personality of the book of the writer here is that he was the last of the Old Testament prophetic books. All right, it was a robust, vicarious personality that may have been an asset to him as he was in the priesthood. He was a spiritual, mature man with a great awareness of sin. Not only did we see it, he brought it to our attention for us to see. And so we see his personality came out. And I think that's interesting, isn't it? I think, you know, when you have somebody come up and speak or you have somebody come up and talk, you want their personality. You want to know who they are. And you kind of relate to them a little bit better because of who they are. And so keep that in mind as you kind of go. You see that here. You see next, after his name, you see the timing of the book of Malachi. The timing of the book of Malachi, there's no dates in the book of Malachi, but you have to kind of go through and look at it specifically. His prophecy, but based on the information that he is given, it happens during the first social conditions or the first social order of the Persian period. Okay, you can see that in that writing there. You also see that he used the word governors. If you use the word governors, that would date back to the Persian officials. Those are Persian officials that would come into place. The Persian Empire came after the Babylonian Empire. You also know that this happened when they went back to Israel. And what happened when they got back to Jerusalem? What did they do? They rebuilt the... And Malachi, during Malachi's time, they talked about it being rebuilt and being able to use the temple. So that's how you know the timing of this book of the Bible. You don't see it written, this is the date and time of it. You have to kind of look at it and study it and find that it falls in that neighborhood. And so Malachi ministered to the end of the Old Testament, and we may place this date around 430 BC. I mean, that's just a round number. It might be perfect. It might not be. But don't quote me on that one there, all right? But what happens next? And I think this is interesting, and this is where I like this, and then it kind of will flow right into the message. I think the style of the book. What is the style of the book? If you've read it, and as we read those first six verses, did you notice what Malachi did? He made a statement. He asked a question. He made a statement. He asked a question. What kind of people do that? Someone that who's someone that makes a statement and asks questions? Who are people like that? Politicians?
Arabic people
do that? Listen, you know, people that are moral lecturers. People that are trying to lecture on morality. And so he was trying to help the moral standing of his day. Why? Because they came back from Babylon and the influence of Babylon. Listen, can I ask you a question? Do we have any issues like that around us? Okay, so I'm not the only one that thinks that way, right? Listen, every single day. You can't even watch a football game without having to worry about what they show on TV. You don't know who's going to run out on the middle of the field. I'll go to a baseball game, the guy runs out in the middle of the field, and you can't even look. People do that all the time. The moral decay in our society, the things that have been brought to our attention that we've have to go and talk to our kids about. The style. Malachi was giving some statements. He was giving questions, and he was trying to get the listeners and the readers that they might understand his idea that what God was bringing to their attention. 20 times in the book of Malachi, he says, "Thus saith the Lord of hosts." So he not only does he, but and you notice he doesn't say, "Thus saith Malachi." He asks the statement. The statement comes from where? From God. The questions come to provoke thought. Just like we do at the beginning of our lesson today, I asked the question to provoke thought. I want to provoke your thought. I want to get you to think, because I want you to take this and go like this and say, how does this relate to this? How can I take this thought and make this statement about the Word of God, the power of God, to influence my life, to make me a better person for you, for Him? And ultimately, that's our ultimate goal. Malachi lived in an uneventful time. God's people who returned from captivity had rebuilt the temple, but lived under Persian dominance. Religious duties were carried out, but mostly out of habit. Careful now, right? Right there we go. We carry it out because we have to come to church on Sunday mornings. We go to church on Sunday nights because that's what it's supposed to do. Or do we come to church because we want to get something from the Word of God? Do we want to come to church so that we can give our best for Jesus Christ? Do we come here tired? Do we come here like, and I get it. We all can get a little weary. But are we coming here to grow and be more like Him? And that's the idea that we're trying to accomplish. In this passage of Scripture, if you look at verses 1 and 2, you see He says, I love you, saith the Lord. And their response, what was their response? They didn't say, I love you back. They didn't. Tell my kids, I love you. Okay. Thanks, I deserve it. I mean, I'm sure your kids have never done that to you. I know I'm a failure as a parent. I get it. And you guys didn't. We say I love you. And their response is, you're the grunt. You're like, yep, uh-huh. Listen, you know what? We all have that. God felt that same exact way here. You see, number two, it says the Lord loves love for Israel. His first one is this. Verse 2a, he says this. The Lord love declared. He declares His love for His people. He declares His love for His people that he has the privilege that He brought into this world that He wants them to follow. You see, but their response was their love, that the Lord's love denied. Number two, Lord's love denied. Verse in B, it says this. Yet ye say, wherein hast thou loved us? Huh? What? Where have you loved us? How have you loved me? What have you done for me lately?
Amen.
Right? I mean, let's make that English terms today. That's King James. So now what we do is we put in there, what have you done for me today? What have you done for me lately? Amen. And if you haven't done anything for me lately, then don't tell me you love me. You know what? Can I challenge us? God says, I love you every single day. You know how He does it? He has given us this book.
Absolutely.
He has given us the privilege to be able to pray and ask Jesus anytime we want. We can talk with Him. We commune with Him. We can walk and talk with Him any single time we want, all day long. That's how He says, I love you. We as parents, as human parents, we fail at that. We get busy. Our kids come to talk to us, and guess what? You don't answer the phone. I mean, have you ever missed your kid's call? We have, not on purpose. We never would do that on purpose. Because it might be a chance to hear our grandkids' voice. We don't really care about our kids. Right? For some of us in this room. I don't have any grandkids, but I have kids, and I don't want to hear their voice sometimes. But you see, they deny Christ. They ask, why? What have you done for me? What are you doing for me that's going to make me love you? If Christ had done that, would He have gone to the cross? Would you have done enough at that moment in time for Christ to go to the cross for you? No. So my challenge to you is this. Remember, when Christ declares His love, don't deny it. Don't deny it. The temple promised to bless them as they followed Him. They turned and they tried to show, hey, look at Esau. Look what Esau didn't get. But Esau wasn't the people of God. I wrote this down. I wrote this question down. We'll take 2 seconds to answer it. Why do we sometimes lose sight of the privilege that we have or that of that love of Jesus Christ? What is it that causes us to lose sight of that? Get too caught up in the world.
Self-centered.
Sin.
Iniquity.
Hey, there's everything. We just get busy. Anybody else busy? I'm a little busy. I don't know if you know that or not. I'm just a tiny bit busy. I got a couple things doing. okay? Brewing in the teapot, they say. And listen, we get so busy, sometimes we forget that we need to say, hey, God, I love you. Just take 4 seconds walking down the hall. That's what I love about walking in here. I get to walk up these stairs over there, and every time, and like no one else is in the hallway, so it's really quiet. It's just me and the stairwell, and I get to just talk to God. Because if I didn't, some of you would know, if you work with me, you know I'd be miserable. Because of my human flesh. Like the things that I like are not necessarily helpful all the time. You see, God's love is declared. God's love is denied. Number three, God's love is defined. What is God's love? Look at the last part of it. It says this. Was not Esau Jacob's brother? Saith the Lord, I loved Jacob. Remember, I loved Jacob and I blessed him because I chose them to be my people. He defined it. He stated it. A statement. And sometimes I think we forget that. Even though they had been taken to captivity and they felt like they had lost it all, it was a reason he did it. He did it to punish, but to bring them back, to spread the gospel. There's so often that we forget what he's doing and what he's trying to accomplish. The Jews did not deserve God's choosing. He chose them by grace. No nation deserves God's love, and no person deserves God's love. So my challenge to you as you think about this question, this is just a rhetorical question, is this. How should we respond to receiving God's love of salvation? Honestly, how should we respond? And my question is, are we responding the way we should? You see, but it doesn't stop there. It doesn't stop there. He says in the next thing, it says the sins of the priest. In verse 6, it kind of transitions. The first part of it is just talking and laying a foundation of the love that Jesus Christ has for us and the love that God had for his Israelite, his chosen people. And by the way, you're sitting in this room, so therefore you are what? Part of the chosen people. The ones that God has given the privilege to learn and know about him and have salvation as a part of your life. But he talks about the priests. Now, the priests are who? Who are the priests? Before we get into that, who are the priests? I'm not real smart, so help me out. Come on. Who are they? Religious leaders. They're the people at that time that had the privilege of doing what? Going to God for everybody else. Now imagine. If you relied on your priests or your pastors to talk to God for you. Well, you'd have 3 weeks where you wouldn't have had a chance because Pastor Norris has been gone. And you have 3 weeks where Pastor Ray has been laid up after medical conditions. How are you going to get to talk to God? They're not here. Listen, God gave you the privilege of having the opportunity to talk to God on your own every single day, whenever you want. You can walk down the street. You can get in your car and drive the car. Keep your eyes open, but you can talk to God. Listen, God wants us to just chit-chat. Amen. Chit-chat with God. Just tell him how much you love him and how much he cares, how much you see what he's done to protect you and given you. Amen. But you see right here the priests. The priests, number three here, is the sins of the priests. You see the sins of the priests. In verse 6, a son dishonoreth his father and a servant his master. If then I be a father, where is mine honor? And if I be a master, where is my fear? Saith the Lord of hosts. So notice, there was a statement and then some questions. There was a statement and then some questions. And he saith, O priest that despise my name, and ye say, wherein have ye despised my name? What did they do? They despised Jehovah. And if you read down through here, you'll see in verse 7, ye offer polluted bread upon mine altar. What did the priests do? They offered a... Remember, where's my illustration here? Huh? They took a sacrifice that wasn't up to par. They were using spotted lamb. They were using polluted things. Just like Josiah. I mean, come on, Josiah. I gave you a gift, man. was a gift. I mean, I hadn't eaten the whole thing yet. I mean, I could chew it up and get it to you if you need to. I can chew it up if that's the problem. But listen, you know, you're saving some time, exactly. Listen, but this is what they were doing. And why were the priests to blame? Because what? They were the ones that get to talk to God. So my question, let's review. Who gets to talk to God now? Okay, hold on. You do. We are all there. So my question is, what kind of sacrifice are you giving to God? Are we giving the sacrifice of praise? Are we giving the sacrifice of that we should be? Are you giving your best to your Savior? Are you kind of going through the motions? I wrote this down. Love for Israel had been great, so he accepted the honor that a son giveth his father, or the respect that a servant gives his master. God is asking us two pointed questions. Where is your honor and where is your fear? Where is your reverence for Jesus Christ? Listen, and I'm not saying that it's not where it needs to be. Because someone says that, don't go out and go, he's wrong, he's making me feel guilty. If you're guilty, it's because you're not where you need to be. If you're not guilty, that means, you know what? You're doing it. So keep doing it. Like, I mean, that's my motto. I mean, I coach basketball. And when I yell at them and I say, make your layups, the guy that makes his layups doesn't go, oh, coach, he's mad at me. No. He knows he didn't miss his layup, so therefore it's fine. Right? The one that misses their layups, they're the one that feel guilty, and they go out and they go, but see, let me ask you a question. When they go home and they tell their mom and dad, Mr. Komsak, he was so mean to me. He told me not to miss my layups. And you know what? The parents are like, yeah, he's right. Can I ask you, are we handling that same way with our Jesus Christ? Because he's our coach. He's who we play for. Amen. My question is, are we giving our best? And when he calls it to our attention, are we willing to have enough reverence and fear for our Lord and Savior that we make a change? Because that's what it means. Amen. When you fear somebody, when you reverence them, you do it because you genuinely have them up here and you say, I got to do whatever he wants because, man, look at how awesome he is. The way of God, they were singled out. They boldly asked where they would despise the name of Jesus Christ. Will they? Will we? Will we get into a point in our lives that we'll get away from it? So you see this. He despised Jehovah. You see this. God's charge. God gave them a charge. He gave them an answer. Here's the answer. In verse, that was God's charge was verse 6. Verse 7. He gave them the answer. He talked about the polluted bread. He talked about the fact that they need to offer that correct offering, an unblemished lamb. But this is where it doesn't stop there. That's not the only thing that they were doing. If you keep going down, it talks about their attitude. The priests also despised God. In verse 13, it talks about their attitude. You said also, behold, what a weariness it is. And ye have snuffed at it. You have snuffed at it, saith the Lord of hosts. Ye brought that which was torn in the lame and the sick. Listen, it goes back to why they did it, because they snuffed at it. What does it mean to snuff at something? It's okay. No big deal. It's the attitude with which they did it. It wasn't just that they brought the lame. It wasn't just that you brought a sacrifice that was kind of not up to snuff. But it was because it was the way you did it, with a lack of care, the attitude. You know, let me ask you, what's our attitude? Are we weary and tired in serving God? And because we do, maybe we're not really giving it our all. We all get that way. I get weary. I get tired. I fall asleep on the couch. Man, I'm tired days. There's days when I'm tired when I get home. And we all do, right? Same way it is with God. We get tired serving him. Keep in mind, it's our attitude with which we do it that makes a difference. You see, it continues this. It disregards the covenant. So he disregards the covenant. Letter B, disregard the covenant. The first covenant is the covenant warning. The priest did not heed the warning. It was chapter 2, verses 1 and 3. He gives them a warning, and they don't heed it. He would send a curse unto them, and they didn't heed it. Second thing they did is they're supposed to administer the covenant. The covenant administered. If you look at verses 4 and 4 through 7, you'll see that he does that. And ye shall know that I have sent this command unto you, and that my covenant might be with Levi, saith the Lord of hosts. My covenant was with him of life of peace, and I gave them to him for the fear wherewith he feared me and was afraid before my name. He gave them a responsibility. He gave the priests, Levites, the responsibility of what? Administering the covenant. Right? Let me ask you, has he done that to you? Because remember, that priesthood has been given to what? So who has the privilege of administering the covenant nowadays? It's not my job. Now, I would love to come around and go, all right, you need to do this right. Okay, you're off. You need to fix it. Okay. Fix it.
Quick.
Okay?
Quick.
You fix it. I would love to just go around and tell everybody what they do wrong. It's so much fun. So much fun. That's why I got to be the administrator. It's so much fun. I love to tell other people what to do that they do wrong. It's a lot more fun than somebody telling me that I'm doing wrong. I mean, do you agree with that? Here's the point, though. God's talking to you. He wants you to administer the covenant that he has given to you. The commands he's given to you. And he wants you to choose to do them and administer them for everybody to see and everybody to hear. Because you're the priesthood. And so my challenge to us today is, are we doing that? You see, as you look at the last one is this. He talks about the covenant breakers, the ones that go against what God wants and the sacrifice he gives. I wrote this down. How effective would a Christian be, or a pastor, or a teacher, or a parent, if he never learned to fear God? Think about that for just 2 seconds. As a Christian, if we never learn to reverence God and put him where he needs to be in his rightful place, amen, will we ever be able to make a difference like we should? We never will. Because you know why? We'll be focused on self. I wrote this verse down, Colossians 3:23. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord. Not unto man. I'm a man, so I don't do it for me. Nothing I do in this world is for me. Nothing I do is for the school board, because I'm an administrator of the school. I don't do it for Buck Bowers. I really don't. Now, I want Buck to be happy, but guess what? I don't do it for Buck Bowers. I do it for Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior. Because there's a point in time in my life where maybe I can't respect myself or that authority figure or whatever, but I can always respect my Savior. Amen. So can I challenge you, if you've had a little doubt in why you're serving Jesus and why you're walking with him, take 5 minutes this afternoon, put him back all the way up here on that rightful spot. Honor him, respect him, and understand he wants you to fear him so that you can serve him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for what you've done for us. I pray that you'll help us as we grow, as we go into this world. Lord, I pray we make a difference for you. I just thank you so much for the book of Malachi and the message he gave us. Lord, I pray that you help us to grow and give us a good rest of the day. In Jesus' name, amen.